So welcome back, everyone. I'd like to spend a little time talking about obstacles to kindness. What gets in the way of us being kind? Does anybody have any clues? Well, you know, we've all been conditioned in our lives to respond to what life offers in a particular way. Some of this conditioning, I think we come in with through our karmic seeds, where we kind of come in with a certain temperament. And then other ways are that we have experiences in our lives that actually impact us in ways that create a certain construction on the inside, ways we hold ourselves and protect ourselves, ways we are in reactivity to beliefs that we have about how we might be affected or impacted or touched by something that we are not in full control of. So basically, one of the primary obstacles to kindness is our beliefs. Our beliefs and also our fears that we are constantly evaluating or in relationship with that actually interrupt the flow of kindness, which is the tendency of the heart to flow. Pema Schroeten says, the most difficult times for many of us are the ones we give ourselves. And I think that because we're tender-hearted, we're affected by our inability to get love and connection and to also give it. It's a rupture when we're not able to flow and be in that kind of grace with the heart. So these constructions, these tightenings, contractions, are actually fear forms that actually happen pretty instantly on the inside of our bodies and our minds. As we slow down in our mindfulness practice, we start to feel into and notice when that actually happens. And it's a major revelation to begin to see how the body is actually responding to our beliefs. That's one of the beauties of mindfulness. And metta actually becomes the healing salve or the ingredient that softens the tightness around these constructions. Well, we first have to be willing to see our habit of mind, the way we've been conditioned to hold ourselves and remove ourselves away from what we actually, what our pure nature is. So in the research I've done around these kind of constructions that I write a lot about is what I call disguises. And there are six disguises that we tend to wear, either on the inside and or on the outside in our relational lives. And there are ways that we are actually, we have come to condition ourselves away from the flow of kindness and love. It actually takes energy to interrupt this propensity towards kindness. You know, it takes energy to do that. So we actually have to harden in order to interrupt this kind of natural rhythm of the heart. So as we begin to notice the forms we take to protect ourselves, and then we begin to believe our own story about it and hold tight to it, as we begin to notice that happening and recognize it, is when we can begin to actually offer metta directly to that tightness. So I want to talk about these six blocks of intimacy, or these six ways we cut off kindness, loving kindness. And these six disguises are actually organized as the three poison. We got the greed types and the aversion types and the delusional types that, we might recognize ourselves in all six of these, but we actually have our preferences. And I'll share some of mine as I'm describing this. But, we have these ways we interrupt the flow, and noticing what they are can be really, really helpful. So we have the fight types, or what the Buddha might call the aversive types. And they're these almost become like personalities or construction. So we have the dominant disguise, which is really about controlling everything so that they're never controlled. So it's a leaning towards being critical or judgmental or opinionated. And, all of these are forms that kind of shut down the flow of heart. So that's the dominant type. And then we have the defiance disguise, which is the part of us that is in a perpetual state of struggle and battle and trying to get what's wrong right. And it can be very subtle, like when Glenn put this beautiful bouquet of flowers here, it's like, oh my gosh, look at this. And then I said, well, there's a little thing hanging here. Just this little thing that I can change and make better. It's like, how do you improve on this, But the habit of mind is seeing things and wanting it to be better, wanting to fix it. It interrupts my loving of the bouquet as it is in its natural form. So we have these ways that we cut off the kindness and the joy that we might be experiencing. So those are the two aversive types, fight types, dominant type, and defiant type. Another example of that is recently I went to yoga, my yoga class, and I stopped by the car wash on the way home to, get my car washed, and I had my yoga blanket, sitting right next to me on the bench outside. And then when the guy said the car was ready, I jumped and went and got in the car. And I get all the way home, 15 minutes away, and discover that I've left my yoga, blanket sitting there. And all of a sudden, this is me after practicing many years. In an instant, I was thinking, oh my gosh, let me get back. How did I do that? Rushing back, I caught myself midstream and began to give myself a breath. But it was so immediate, this notion that if I don't get back there, somebody's going to steal my yoga mat, and then I got to go get them, and I should call them. I was in a complete story. And my feelings were real, but the situation wasn't so true. I got back, my blanket was sitting there, nice and neat, right where I left it, and this woman actually handed it to me, So these constructions, these habitual impulses are deeply rooted in how we've been conditioned, what we have been experienced. That incident says something about my life and how my life has been going, and where I've been wounded. So I can keep my attention out there, or I can bring it inward and offer some metta to myself for the fear that I felt of being had. That's what's underneath a lot of the fight types, the aversive types, the fear that if they can't control it all, something horrible is going to happen. And with any of these disguises, when we lock down tight in that belief, it's hard to see anything else, like a bigger truth that might be surrounding it. Because the story has a life of its own. And that interferes with our ability to be intimate with this moment, to put a little space around our worries. So those are the fight types. And then we have the flight types, or what the Buddha would call relate to the greedy types, or the greed types. There's a distraction disguise which fills up every minute of their day with activity. You know, I got to rush to my yoga practice. You know, I've got to do this. I have to know this. I have to get there. The multitasker. This disguise is highly rewarded in our society. We actually think we're achieving something, not recognizing that we're often running away from a quiet stillness that's insisting on serving us. So the distraction disguises, minute they walk in the house, they might turn on the radio, flip on the TV, open the computer, you know, feed the kids. It's that image that has all these arms and eyes that we see in the Buddhist typologies. Yes, distraction. And then there's a devotion disguise that's often in service to everything and everyone at the expense of their own awareness. The devotion disguise might fall down. Both the devotion disguise and the distraction disguise might hurt themselves, break a leg, you know, get in an accident, forget the, I mean, you know, because we're somewhere other than in the body, in a big way with the flight types. So devotion is going to be oftentimes in a benevolent role, so it looks really worthy and appropriate. But oftentimes there's something very disconnected about the movement of it. And the fear is what happens when you're not in that habituation. And that's true for all of these disguises. If I'm not doing that, what am I feeling? What am I opening to? Can I bear it? Becomes the questions. So that's distraction and devotion. These are flight types, people that are on the move because being still feels very unbearable. And it's because of our experiences in life. There's reasons for this. And then there's what the Buddha would call delusion types, what I call shrink types, people that kind of cave in and get small in the world, get small in their minds, get small in their bodies, almost a sense of maybe being a little invisible, heavy, withdrawn. There's the dependence disguise who really relies on other people heavily and is afraid to have their own voice and their own expression. Because if they express their opinions and their feelings, they might lose membership in the relationships that they rely on or that's significant to them. So they shrink. And they block their joy, they block their kindness, because it's conditional. There has to be a constant efforting around how I stay connected so that I can survive. And then there's the depression disguise, which is not depression in the clinical sense, but a sense of heaviness where it's very difficult to get around to doing the things that you know are important for your spiritual well-being. There's always energy to do the other things, but there's a certain heaviness and weight, energetic weight, that interferes with activity for well-being. Good intention, but the activity behind it is difficult to muster. And there's a reason for that. There are experiences and stories and heartbreaks behind all of these disguises. And so often, you know, you hear about the spiritual bypass where you want to kind of move quickly over these things so that we can get to the light and the love. But they're really wanting our loving attention. They are worthy of our metta, of our kindness. And if it was really that easy to just fast forward over it, we would all have done that already. But when we sit down to meditate, what we open to are these propensities. These are kind of the things that pop up and say, hey, over here, you know, see me. There are habits of mind. There are struggles. So how we relate to them, they're the guests that come to the guest house. So bowing to these experiences, these habits of mind, that's really kind of touching into some of our woundedness or our heartbreak. Metta is a lot about the heart. So if we get close to the heart, we're going to be in the light of all of our life experiences, not just the ones we like or prefer. So these disguises are not to be seen as fixed states, but they do become so habitual that we actually start relating to them as personality and as normative. And they're not. They're just a reflection of what's unfinished and what's needing our attention. It's so important to honor our full experiences that come up. They might be related to an old incident, but when they come up in the present time, they're wanting our kind attention. They're wanting the respect of the role they've played in our survival. And with the right respect, they can get out of the way so that we can open fully to our hearts. So this exercise I'm going to invite us to do is going to be to explore in a silent, heartfelt way what's kind of underneath these disguises, because they're actually longings that we can all relate to. They actually are a reflection of our humanness. So let's see if we can touch into what the real inquiry or questions are that we have without the dressings of our habitual disguises. So we're going to do this in a particular way. I'm going to ask you to be out of your seats, and you're going to be moving around just a little bit, but you're going to do this in silence. And there will be six rounds, and each round represents one of these disguises. And I know you're all six of them, so you don't have to show your hand on that. I know you're all six of them. The reason there's six is because they're all six aspects of myself, so there's no narcissism here, but, you know. You can probably relate to all six. But what I'll be asking you to do is pair up in silence. I'm going to be guiding you through looking at the person you're paired with in silence, and I'm going to read off some statements about what's kind of underlining this. And we're looking at each other so that we can wake up to our tenderness. And we do this mostly in relationship. We can do it in our sitting, but we get a bit more of a stimulus when we have contact because we're present. And it's a little not so easy to not feel. We wake up fairly quickly to our humanness, to our heart, and to the heart's natural longing to be in relationship to all beings, to everyone. And I'll just ask you to breathe and practice while you're looking at this face. And then, you know, it'll only be for a few seconds. Now I ask you to bow to this partner and ask you to get a new partner. We'll take a moment, rest in, I'll read off a few more statements. As you attend and look at the humanness in the person you're with. And then we'll change again. And we'll do that for 6 times. Your only assignment is to show up with your partner and breathe and open your heart. That's it. And what we begin to see is how it is to feel our life in this moment of connection. Because a lot of times we're busy with our minds elsewhere, our hearts get to the next thing. So we're looking at what it's like to be present, what it's like when the heart can be still with the person you're with, just for a moment. And then we'll sit and offer metta to ourselves and to everyone in this room. Are you game? You can opt out if you want to, if you just must. But I invite you to give it a try. So first of all, relieve yourself of hands and things. Everyone stand up. I want you to go out of your way across the room to connect. If you are mobilely charged, let's have someone come to you so you can, whatever you want to do. So take a moment and go across. We're in silence. Take a moment and go out of your way to partner up with someone in the room. If you don't have a partner, look around and raise your hand. Look around. If you don't have a partner, look around. Raise your hand. Look around. And spread out a little bit if you like. Everyone partnered? Anyone else? Okay, Hugh, can you partner with him? All right. So right where you are, just close your eyes. Just for a moment, close your eyes and relax into the energy of anticipation that's happening on the inside. Or maybe it's anxiety. Just take a breath or two here. And gently open your eyes and just softly look at the person in front of you. And stay close to your own breath and body. Notice if you're holding. Let your gaze be soft. This is what the dominance disguise is trying to understand underneath the controlling and critical mind. How do I love without feeling like a fool? How do I stay connected with you when I'm hurt and disappointed? How do I allow the good, the bad, and the beauty in others and in myself? And how do I say I'm sorry? It was my fault. So take a breath here. Just see that humanness in the other person. You can bow to this person and get a new partner. Do that quietly. Move around. Look around and If you don't have a partner, raise your hand, look around. This is good. And again, let's just close your eyes just for a minute here. I'll do what I can to speak a little louder. I know some of you are having difficulty hearing me. Just notice what it's like to be in this new space, this new person before you. Relax in your awareness on the inside. Letting your heart do the work. Gently open your eyes and look at this beauty. And really see their humanness. Know that they have many stories that you can't possibly imagine. Many ways their heart has been open, broken, and expanded. And this is what the defiance disguise is trying to understand. How do I love without hurting other people? Take a good look there. What would it be like if I didn't have to prove to you that I was right? How do I confront injustice and not suffer so much or cause suffering? How do I keep hate out of it? And how do I stop abusing others through my ill will? Take a breath here. See the humanness that's there. Know we all want to know. Bow to this person. And gently find a new person. And take a breath here. If you don't have a partner, raise your hand. Look around. Right there. Can you switch with someone close by? Yeah. Great. Taking your time with this, staying close to the breath. Checking in, close your eyes and just check in a minute. See what's happening on the inside. See, we move quickly through life. We don't always feel these transitions because our mind is busy on what we need to do next. So we're slowing it down here, making contact, being present, and letting the heart have its way. So open your eyes and take a good look. And imagine seeing yourself through their eyes in kindness. This is what the distraction disguise is trying to understand. How do I do nothing without being consumed by fear? Who am I without things and activities, acquisitions, consumptions? Who am I? what happens to me if I stop running through my life? What would it be like? What do I have to give back to the world? And take a breath here. And bow to this partner. And find a new partner. We're connecting with our Sangha siblings here. Taking your time. Yeah. And take a breath here. And whatever's happening on the inside, know that that's okay. Just send some metta to yourself so that you can be more present. This is what the devotion disguise is trying to understand. How do I love and care without giving myself away? Without losing boundary? How do I not take responsibility for how others feel? How do I take care of myself without feeling selfish? And what would it be like to have all the answers to my own questions? And one more breath here. Bowing to the humanness that's before you, and get another partner. Look around. Look around if you don't have a partner. Is there one other person who doesn't have a partner? Okay. Great. So take a breath here. And look at their face and see the courage and resilience that's there, the loving kindness that's undeniable. This is what the dependence disguise is trying to understand. What truth about myself should I trust more? What might I discover by giving myself what I need? How do I allow others to care for me? Take a breath here. And a bow. And one last partner. you don't have a partner, raise your hand, look around. Great. And close your eyes and notice what you're feeling in this moment. A gentle scan of the body to see where you're holding and where you're free. And allow that awareness to be soft and without judgment. And extending that intention out to this person you're partnered with as you open your eyes. Soft awareness. And this is what the dependence disguise is trying to figure out. Why have I chosen to be here? In this place, at this time, in this exercise, what do I love in my life more than I fear? What am I here to honor without question? And what can I create that speaks louder than words? I'm just noticing what's happening on the inside. Seeing this kindness in the other face. And bow to the humanness before you that is you. And let's take a seat. So let's take a moment to turn our attention inward. Now that we've been present in this last exercise and perhaps touched by the questions or the connection, the heart connection, the felt sense that we had with our various partners, let's close our eyes and open to an inner space to be with the experience. Take a few breaths here. We are touched by the presence of other people. That's our nature. And we wake up in the face of human contact. Sometimes that contact can be in the quiet of our mind. Other times it's when we can pause and fully be present with who shows up in our lives. Choyen Trungpa Rinpoche says we have this soft spot, this natural tendency, this natural tenderness. You know that spot at the top of a baby's head that's really soft? That's how I think about it. When we move through our lives, hardening in a lot of other places, but we still have this soft spot. And that soft spot is the weak link in the hard boundary of the ego. So when we touch into that place, we really want to hang out there and allow it. Thich Nhat Hanh says that you must love in ways that the person you love feels free. And that includes ourselves. And James Baldwin says that love takes off the masks that we fear we cannot live without, and we know we cannot live within. So this capacity to be with ourselves, the hard and the soft, and to have space enough to rest and open, is part of what metta makes available to us. So as you sit, we can repeat the phrases. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I be safe. May I be healthy and strong. If I can't be healthy and strong, may I be able to accept this moment as fully as possible. May I be happy. May I live with ease and well-being. May I be free. Free from contraction, free from suffering. May all the Sangha Simplings who showed up today, all the people I partnered with, may they be safe. May they be happy and strong. May they live with ease. May they be well. May they be free from suffering. Just like me, we all wish to be happy, safe, healthy, strong, well. May this be so for all of us. And for this last minute, send metta to yourself. May I be happy. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I be healthy in heart and mind. May I live with ease.